Okay, everybody, we are back, your favorite two divorce mavens, and we're here together having a cocktail and going to start talking about some really good stuff with Dr. Randy Heller.
You're modeling for your children, and your children will remember that.
We are what we put out there. And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Tonight, I am drinking a glass of red wine, Cabernet. How about you, Andrea?
Girl, you know, when you open up a bottle of Cabernet, you know homie's going to take a sip. Pour one out for your homie. What?
Red wine. Okay, I'm on it. On it right now. So what we're going to talk about before we go right into our episode, because the amount of information in this episode is amazing, is
basically for a two-parter, people.
What was that?
I said homie, and now I'm getting all like thug life over here. We had to have Dr. Heller on for a two-parter. There was so much information that we've got her not for one, but for two episodes.
That's right. And so let's do that. Basically the rom-com or the horror film episode segment right now.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Let me start. Okay, so rom-com, the good thing about the week. Did you know, Andrea, that we have listeners in every state of the United States except for Wyoming?
Why on earth do we not have listeners in Wyoming?
Where are you, Wyoming people? But my rom-com moment is how thrilled we are. We have listeners all over the world, but to be in every state of the United States except for Wyoming. If you have any friends in Wyoming that may want to listen, could you just have one person listen? So then we have every state, and we'll let you know when that happens. We would appreciate it.
Cross the map, people.
That's right. And my horror film for the week is I had lunch with a girlfriend who had a child go through a really bad medical issue. And it's kind of a silver lining because the child is okay and it required surgery. It had to deal with the brain. It was scary. One of the things that she said to me, number one, is that he's okay. But the other thing that she said to me, which is all about perspective, and you know, Andrea, I'm all about perspective. She said, everyone thinks their life is so bad. Their days are so bad. She was like, you want to know what's bad? What gives you perspective? Take a walk down the halls of a children's hospital. That gives you perspective. And I stood up and I was like, you know what? You are absolutely right. Everybody needs a little perspective. So it's a horror of what happened. It's great that the silver lining is her child is great. And it gives us all a little perspective for going into our next week.
So true. And now that you led with that, I cannot follow up with my horror of the week.
You have to. So, because I need a horror for you that I can make fun of you as much as you make fun of me.
Oh, God. The day that Morgan had to pump unleaded gas. I mean, the trauma. Okay. Well, fine. I'll give it to you.
My silly, sad little horror moment of the week is
that. You're hurting my ears, by the way.
Oh, God. I can't. I know the world is praying for the day when I get a head cold. Seriously, I could pretend to bring it down to register for everybody. I watched some video footage of me this week. I was shooting video for a new business that I'm launching with my photographer, and we had to shoot all this promo video. And I like really had like a yucky moment watching myself on video. I thought I looked like a walrus. Like a bloated beached whale, and my self-esteem took a nosedive. Now it's no, like, it's not, I guess, that real compared to like what your poor sweet friend and her son have been going through. Cause that's the real stuff. But, you know, that was the low point of my week.
Okay. I'm not going to make fun of you because okay. It's real. It's real how you feel about yourself.
My rom-com moment is so freaking cheesy, y'all. But this morning I walked outside and I heard birds chirping.
Really?
Birds in the middle, the dead of winter in Chicago. I heard birds.
And you knew that sometime we were getting out of this winter.
I knew. Spring is around the corner, y'all. So that's it. birds chirping, beach
whales. I like it. Beach whales. Okay, with that, with the beach whales, let's hop into our guest, Dr. Randy Heller.
So excited. Okay, we have more words of wisdom to share.
That's right. We have the fabulous Dr. Randy Heller back with us today. If you didn't tune in last time, I'm going to repeat her amazing background because it's so impressive. She has a PhD in family therapy. She's a licensed mental health counselor. She's a marriage and family therapist. She's a collaborative divorce specialist, a reunification therapist, and is a mediator in divorce cases. She's all the things divorce, but also a true expert on families and children and how we do this process better with the science behind it. Also, for those who are wondering, where is she licensed? She's licensed in New York, Florida, and Connecticut currently, but maybe expanding her licenses soon. Welcome back, Randy.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Morgan and Andrea, thank you so much for this opportunity. This is a wonderful, wonderful show. You're doing a tremendous service to the public. And I really appreciate and I'm honored to have the opportunity to share some knowledge and share some hope.
We're ready to hear it. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about the business of co-parenting, or really, it's how co-parenting should be viewed as a business relationship between you and your ex-spouse. And we are also going to introduce what a family therapist is and how a family therapist can aid in this business of co-parenting.
And I like this new view of what we're talking about today, which is co-parenting like it's a business relationship, because when something's a business, you remove all the bad feelings and you just focus on what's most important, which is the children. So Dr. Heller, tell us how parents can shift their relationship to effectively co-parent, and how can they treat it more like a business relationship and less emotionally?
Yeah, so it's such a key idea, I think, and it really creates, as you're suggesting, Morgan, a paradigm shift for these people, because you know, when they come into my office, and you mentioned it, so I'm licensed as marriage and family therapist, and oftentimes they're with me or someone like me, and they're working on the issues related to their marriage. What's wrong with the other person? Why they're not happy in their marriage? Why they're not satisfied with their sex life? Why the in-laws are a problem? Why they can't make decisions about where to go on vacation or how to spend money, et cetera. Those things are no longer an issue. They're no longer an issue in divorce, right? So you're not fighting, don't need to fight anymore about those things. Those things are irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is the best thing that these two did together, which was have children. And oftentimes, I start these sessions by saying, show me pictures of your kids. Before cell phones and pictures on cell phones, I'd have them take out photos and put them on the table, right? But now everybody's got pictures on their cell phones of the kids. Show me pictures of your kids, because that's a constant reminder. It's a constant reminder of something good that came out of their union. Even if the kids weren't planned, even if sometimes they think we never should have brought kids into this marriage, they were blessed somehow, for some reason, they were blessed with children. And now it's the business of, like you say, Morgan, without those feelings, setting their feelings for each other aside and loving the other person for making that child with you, right? And being feeling that blessing. And so oftentimes, as a therapist, you know, my office setup is like a living room. When I'm talking about co-parenting, we're in a conference room and we are setting the context for this is a business relationship now. And like you said, the feelings are out of it. So it's, and that's hard. That's hard, but they're learning how to do that. But the business is, what do the kids need? How are we going to provide for the kids and what they need? How are we going to help them to, even from the basics of get to school, get to extracurricular activities, spend time with their friends? How are we going to have birthday parties? How are we going to share them on holidays? How are we going to take them on vacation? Who's going to take them on vacation? When and how? Those kinds of things are very, very important, because kids only want to know, how is this going to impact our lives? That's what they want to know. how is this going to affect me? Kids are very egocentric. We talked about this before. And they want to know, how is this going to affect me? And so we, as their parents, have a responsibility to not let it affect them as much as we possibly can, to, in an ironic way, allow it to enhance their lives. Allow it to enhance their lives, because we're going to be doing what's good for them and they're going to see that. And so we're going to implement strategic plans to be able to allow them to just be kids and not to worry about the fact that their parents are not together anymore, but they're going to just focus on being kids. And we're going to focus on, you're going to focus on being the best parents you can be.
So you mentioned something just a moment ago that I want to go back to, because it's actually something that Morgan and I were talking about over the phone earlier this week, which is every single divorced couple knows that in order to do this, they have to put down their swords, right? But I think that where we all get tripped up is the how. How do you put down your swords, right? There are so many hurt feelings. There's so much. So what can you tell people that they can do to kind of get the ball rolling in this?
Yeah, so there's an old saying, it's not mine, but I use it all the time. You must love your kids more than you dislike or even hate each other. And oftentimes we start with an acknowledgement of the hurt, an acknowledgement of the pain. And that's not about blame. And it's not about, you know, who did what to who. We don't get into those conversations. That would be more, you know, a marriage counseling conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I start the sessions by acknowledging everybody's hurting. Everybody's in pain. Everybody's going through their own set of emotions. And I ask each of them to validate that. If they can, great. If they can't, I do it, right? And so then I move the conversation into something that's not very pleasant. And it's the research that I've done on what happens to kids when they're in a bad divorce and how a bad divorce can hurt them. And then we move the conversation to something much more hopeful, how resilient children can be when they come from a good divorce, and how these parents, although they had to make a decision to get divorced and break up a family, which people are very sad about or scared about, or of course worried about their children because of, what I try to help them to know is that they are solely responsible for helping their children to get through it in a good way. Mm-hmm. And it's their job and it's their responsibility.
So what you're describing is the role of what a family therapist does. So give everybody a little bit of background. Like, how is a family therapist different from a regular therapist? Because I think we're kind of getting into the meat right now. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that this is not just any old Joe Schmo you find on the street who can help you do this.
Yeah. So a family therapist, and this is in due respect to all of my other colleagues in other, you know, fields of mental health, because every discipline has its place. In these circumstances, a family therapist is specially trained to understand multiple perspectives simultaneously. So to meet with different people and different personalities and different perspectives in one setting and not align with any of those perspectives, yet help each person understand the multiple perspectives that are happening. So if one, let's just use as an example. So if mom says, I can't do this because it's difficult, and a scorned husband might say, well, you always say you can't, and there's always a reason why you can't. My job is not to align with mom, but to help dad understand what makes it difficult for mom to do that. And if I can help dad understand what makes it difficult for mom to do that, then dad might be able to in collaboration with me and mom come up with a solution to that instead of being angry about that or frustrated by that. And he might develop some compassion for that, right? So it's about, again, understanding multiple perspectives that are happening simultaneously, not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the solutions, developing visions for how you want the future to be. It's very present and future oriented, not focusing on the past and what he did or she did or they did to each other, and not focusing again on the problem, but focusing on solutions.
So some of our listeners may be thinking, we can't even say hello to each other at exchanges currently. How are we going to sit together in a therapist's office and come to something that's in the best interest of the children? And what I would say legally, many states provide for legal remedies to send parents to what we call co-parenting therapy or family therapy. I have done it many times. I have rarely seen it not at least be somewhat helpful. So if you're thinking to yourself, this is never going to happen, my ex is a humongous jerk and will never do it, the court in some jurisdictions can order it. So Randy, I want to turn that over to you. Yeah. I mean, I assume you've had couples that literally can't even look at each other that show up in your office.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where I'm talking about helping them to understand multiple perspectives simultaneously, because in that anger and in that hurt and in that pain, they can't imagine themselves doing something differently. They can only imagine themselves protecting themselves from the pain. So that's where my role is to, one, acknowledge and validate the pain that's happening everywhere in the room, to acknowledge the difficulty that it is for them to sit together, and to also bring the children's voice into the room, to talk to them about what it's like that they can't, their parents can't sit in a room together, to talk to them about what it might be like if their parents can't attend an extracurricular activity in the same gymnasium, to talk to them about what it's like if their parents can't share their birthdays with them, or a holiday, or even a drop-off and pickup, and to share with them the reality of their children's experience, which sometimes is, and oftentimes is, lost in the midst of their anger and their own pain. So again, you know, I have to really provide the context where everybody can understand how everybody is impacted by everybody's actions. And there's a saying, it's by a famous old deceased philosopher named Rumi. And it says, out beyond right and wrong, there is a field, and I'll meet you there. And I try to help each person to say, okay, how can I help you get to that field? And that doesn't mean that you're going to be best friends. And that doesn't mean that you're not still hurting about what has transpired in the past. And that doesn't mean that we're negating or minimizing the pain. What it does mean is we're looking at, how can you two come together even in the midst of that? How can you show up as your best self? Because probably in a bad marriage, you've been trying to change that other person for as long as you've been married, right? So it's not about changing the other person. It's about being your best self when you come to that arena.
Dr. Heller, that brings me to a question that I just have to ask, because, you know, you're touching on your best self. I hear this all the time. My ex is a narcissist. My ex has borderline personality disorder. My ex is drunk. There's always something or some kind of diagnosis for the ex. So what happens when you have people in your office saying this? You know, don't you see he's a narcissist, or she's a narcissist, or she's not even on this planet? How do you, you know, what do you say about those kind of allegations?
Yeah. So I hear that all the time too. So the first thing I say glibly is, who isn't a narcissist and who isn't bipolar when they're going through a divorce? So that's the first thing I say, that's and true. I really believe that's true. And the other thing I do is ask them to try to leave those labels outside of this context, because that narcissist or that person with bipolar disorder is still your child's parent.
Right.
And you made babies with that parent. and you made babies with that person. And so we're not going to, you know, have that person disappear from your child's life. So really it's enlisting them in, okay, how do we, even if that's true, I'm not going to invalidate it because then I'm in a whole different kind of conversation, right? So I'm not going to deny it, debate it, or invalidate it. Even if that's true, how do we help that other person be their best self, right? So if I can share a quick story. I worked with a couple the other day, and the child had a medical need. And the mother was the one who was responsible for caring for that child's medical need. And she didn't want the child to have overnights with the father because he wasn't capable of taking care of that medical need. So I said, okay, tell me how you can, instead of negating it, tell me what your concerns are and how can you help him to do better? How can you help him to do better? Because if you can help him, if you're the expert and you're the only one that can do it, how can you then use that skill and help him to do better so that your child is safe in his care, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about, okay, dealing with what is. So if that person is a narcissist or if that person is bipolar, is diagnosed, I'll say diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. How can you manage to co-parent, help the children, and help that person to be the best person they can be, even in the midst of that? Because the reality is there's no court, you tell me, Morgan, there's no court in the world that's going to take away a parent's rights because they have that kind of a diagnosis.
No. Not unless they're doing something, you know, pretty dangerous. But I really like what you just said. And it's something I think you're getting at, but you haven't come through the front door and said it. So let me just see if you're going there, which is you're putting both parties, whether one is right or one is wrong, you're putting them on the hot seat and saying you also are accountable. So hear what the other person is saying. So if someone's saying, I'm kind of perfect, I'm an amazing person, and my ex is a narcissist, you're still turning the table on the person who thinks they're amazing and saying, what can you do better to help this relationship be better for your children?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying, because I truly believe, and this is a philosophy of a family therapist, and let me clarify. So a family therapist is someone who focuses on relationships and the space between people, right? So nothing happens in isolation. So if you are with somebody who's a narcissist or you think is a narcissist, you probably have something to do with exacerbating that. And if you're with somebody who is diagnosed with a bipolar disorder, you're probably doing something, even if it's unconsciously, to exacerbate that because you know what their buttons are, right? So it's my job to help them to recognize their part. And that's, again, circling back to being your best self. You can't change them. You can, though, recognize how can you be your best self so you are supporting them and not triggering them, because when you trigger them, they become worse, not better. So it's not helpful to your children. So keeping them focused on the outcome they want for their children goes back to what you spoke about earlier, Andrea, the business of co-parenting. You're no longer married to a narcissist, or you're no longer married to someone who has a bipolar disorder, but you are divorced from someone you had children with. So how can you help them to be the best parent they can be? And the reality is, without you as their trigger, the possibility exists that those diagnoses or the symptoms or the collection of behaviors that are akin to a diagnosis aren't going to emerge in the same way.
Right. And the other thing that I want to make sure that we touch on for people who are sitting here feeling like they're being like attacked without being in front of us is that, you know, we're not saying that you had things that went wrong in your marriage. And we're not saying that so-and-so isn't the asshole that you think he is. And she's not, you know, a conniving bitch. I'm sure they were. But the thing is, what we're saying is you got to get through these hurdles, because all that you're doing by saying, well, he's a narcissist or she's bipolar, he's this, all you're doing is you're putting up this hurdle that's saying, so that's why we'll never be able to work together. And if you're never able to really work together, then what's happening for the children? And I'm the first one to say, and I talked about this yesterday with Dr. Heller, I am talking about this, but I am still in a bad place with my family, and all of you who follow me on Instagram, know that, because I'm very transparent. So we are all works in progress, but this is exactly why these family therapists exist, because a lot of us need the extra help and guidance and support.
And the other part of it is, Andrea, and I really appreciate your candor. The other part of it is, you have to separate, and this is tough. Please know, none of what I'm suggesting is easy, and I recognize that. You have to separate the person and how they were as a partner and how they were as a spouse from how they maybe could be and are as a parent. Mm-hmm. So, have you ever heard someone say, oh, I just love my pet. I love my dog. When I come home, my dog is so sweet and my dog is so loving and my dog is so kind, because they're not threatened by us, right? So they're happy to see us. As long as we feed them and take care of them, they're loving toward us, right? But if we cross them, if we go to harm them, then they're going to claw or they're going to bite or they're going to do something bad, right? Our children don't necessarily present those same issues for our spouse that we do. Mm-hmm. So just because they were reactive to us doesn't mean they're going to be the same way with our children. And so we have to recognize that they can be a very good parent, even if they weren't a very good spouse. And we have to start working in a partnership. Again, going back to the notion of a business of co-parenting, we have to go back to that notion that we're in a partnership. We're in a partnership here to ensure that our children grow to be the best that they can. And remember what I said earlier, children in our last podcast, children of divorce will do well. They will learn to manage adversity. They will be resilient if parents are co-parents and good co-parents, if they don't have to feel loyalty issues and that they have to love one and not the other, or be angry at one and not the other, and if they don't have to blame one person. That's the other thing. This is not about blame. This is not about fault. And even back to our other conversation about, don't we need to tell them about the infidelity? Don't we need to tell them about what went on in our marriage and why we're getting divorced? No, they're children. You need to protect them from that. They don't need to know those details. They just need to know they're loved. That's all.
I like what you said too, and I'm kind of likening it to some of the things that I talk about with my clients, which is, listen, you're dealt a hand of cards, okay? It's you, your children, and your ex. The cards aren't going to change. There's no way to get a new card in this relationship. So you have to deal with the cards you've been dealt. And that may take swallowing your pride. That may take some, for lack of a better term, mind manipulation. Whatever it is, in my mind, what I tell them is your decision's always what's best for your child. And you have to come to an agreement with the other side. And the cards aren't going to change. The other side isn't suddenly going to be a lovely person to deal with. But if you realize that and you start saying, okay, I've got these cards. Now, how do I make it the best way that I can? Because these aren't changing. It's going to be so much easier to deal with this.
It's a wonderful frame, Morgan. It's a wonderful frame because, excuse me, and in a reframe, I can reframe that. The good news is you know what you're dealing with, right? So you know what you're dealing with. And so you can learn how to manage what you know, right? So have realistic expectations. This person may be mean to you when he shows up at the door. This person may be exactly the way that they were when you were married. The good news is you don't have to deal with that. All you have to deal with is the person who is going to be with your children and the experience that your children are going to have with that person. So, you know, what I mean by that is if the person wasn't nice to you during your marriage, they may not be nice to you now. Mm-hmm. What would lead you to expect that they're going to show up at the door and be nice to you? So if you have a realistic expectation, okay, when they show up at the door, they're not going to be very nice, but I know my children are going to be safe when they go with them. That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need to make them be nice to you anymore. That's what you tried to do when you were married. You don't need to do that anymore. So it's a different dynamic.
I want to mention something that you and I spoke about yesterday on the phone, which is a really good family therapist is strategic. And it's not being manipulative, but you have to know how to get under the hood of everybody's car, right? And what works for each person. So, and one other thing I want to back up and say really quickly, we spoke before about how this person might not be a good wife or a good husband, but they could be a good parent. Now, there are situations where being a quote unquote good parent is also part of the problem, right? We don't think that this person is a good parent. But back to what Morgan said, we're not going to be able to change that. It's really hard to change that part. So we've got to figure out how do we make the very best out of the cards that we were dealt. And a really good family therapist can be strategic, okay? Let's say that this person is an actual narcissist, right? We've got that certification signed, sealed, and delivered. There's still a way to communicate with that person in a way that might feed their ego in a sense so that we're able to get the best result possible. And I thought that that was so interesting when we talked about it. And also we were relating it to cars and how, you know, you can't put a part in a Nissan that was made for a Honda, right? Yes. So like, you've got to know like what's going to work for each individual person. And I just want everyone to think about how helpful a really good family therapist can be. Morgan, what do you think about that?
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that I wanted to ask Dr. Heller, because I know we're going to have a lot of listeners that are saying, I can't wait to get to family therapy, but it seems so far in the future. Like I want to run there, but I just don't know how to get from point A to point B. So Dr. Heller, in the meantime, before they get to a good family therapist, can you give some tools that can help them figure out a good way to manage this business relationship of co-parenting before they get to somebody as amazing as you?
Yeah, very, very readily. So I think, you know, one of the things that I teach my clients is breathing and mindfulness techniques. So that might sound kind of woo-woo to some of your listeners. I hope not. But I think there's something very, very important to be said about utilizing those techniques. And again, that is about showing up as your best self. So it's knowing what your triggers are and knowing how not to react and how to respond in a different way. So my belief is that every action is an invitation for someone else to respond or react. So again, we know how to trigger that other person, but it's about taking a deep breath, kind of, I said meditation, but even visualizing the outcome you want and deciding to do something different in an effort to get a different outcome. Because the different outcome you want is for your children. And when you're doing that, you're actually, as we spoke about a moment ago, managing your expectations, having realistic expectations. I have clients tell me all the time, I can't believe he showed up and he didn't say hello to me, or he showed up or she showed up and she was yelling and she was rude and she was disrespectful. So the first thing I say is, okay, your mantra needs to be, thank goodness I'm not married to that person anymore. Thank goodness I don't have to sleep with that person tonight. Thank goodness I don't have to go home to that person. So that's the first thing. Make it a positive thing. Okay, that's who they are. That's why you got a divorce. And you don't need to be with that person anymore. However, if you're managing your expectations, you're going to respond, not react, and to bring in what we've been talking about and to stack it, you're going to be your best self. So even if they don't greet you, you can greet them. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not nice to you, you can be nice to them. You know, the old kill them with kindness. You can do that. And you're modeling for your children, and your children will remember that. Hi, yep. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you have a great time with mom or with dad tonight. See you on Sunday. See you on Monday. And you're breathing through it because it's not easy to do. Your stomach's churning, your heart is racing, your palms are sweating, but you're breathing through it.
It's so important. I was just thinking when you were saying that, I had my transfer day for my kids was last night. It's always on a Thursday night. And I had my kids get a Valentine's Day card for their dad, and I had them write it out. And my son found a kind of a sparkling water that my ex-husband really likes. And so he's like, Daddy really likes that water. I'm like, well, let's get it for Daddy. So we wrapped up a silly little, you know, grapefruit flavored bottle of water, put it in a bag, whatever. And I thought, to me, and it was such a big moment, because I saw it as, and this was really probably, you know, in light of the conversation that you and I had earlier in the day, which is, it doesn't matter if it ever comes back, right? It's not about that. It's about showing your children that you are okay, right? And just showing kindness. And now the other thing that you said just now, which you said earlier, is we are what we put out there, right? So if you're saying like, things are horrible, things are horrible, things are horrible, well, then things are probably going to be pretty horrible.
Right.
So we really are in control, and we need to try to flip the script.
Well, I compliment you, Andrea, because think about how your son is going to remember that Valentine's Day experience. And think about what he's going to think about you, because you helped him to do that. Versus, well, I'm not going to get him a Valentine's for his father because I can't stand his father.
Right.
And he'll pick up on that. So you're modeling, first of all, you're modeling forgiveness in some way. You're modeling peace. You're modeling, again, being your best self. And our kids are watching, and our kids are watching all the time. So it's really, really important that we set an example. And what you said also is so important. You said it may not come back. There's managing your expectations, right?
Exactly.
Have a realistic expectation. It's probably not going to come back, but it doesn't matter, because you're not doing it in order to get something back. You're doing it to do the right thing for your child. You're doing it to help your child to have a better experience. And he's going to remember that, and he's going to appreciate that.
So I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now, and
we all do.
I'm feeling really zen on a really kind of could be nasty topic, but I'm feeling like we got somewhere today.
Yeah.
I think we did. And I know that I really want a family therapist. So there we go.
And again, it's learning ways to manage what, like you said, Morgan, the cards were dealt with. It's learning ways to manage the experiences we have in life. I'm going to go back to COVID. You know, that's one of my silver linings. I use it as example for challenges all the time. So we could look at COVID and say it's traumatic. We can look at COVID and say it's daunting. We can look at COVID and say it's been a horrible, horrible 2 years, and you know, stuck inside and limited and restricted and miserable and sick and much, much worse. And we can hold the possibilities. A lot of people have said their families are more connected now. They're able to, you know, to coexist some in better ways because they've had to. Or look at me, I've been able to expand my work to 3 states because I'm now working remotely where I didn't before. So we have to look at the silver lining in the clouds. We have to look at, not everything has to be daunting and devastating and destructive. You said it before, Andrea, and I believe this so strongly. What we focus on is what we see. What we believe is what we manifest. So if we believe that it can be better, it will be. Mm-hmm. If we believe it will be horrible, terrible, and awful, it will be. So it's a way of thinking. And if I do anything successfully as a therapist, I try to help people to alter the way they think. You know, if we look at a frame, if we look at a picture in a frame and the frame is wood, that picture is going to project an image. If we look at that same picture and it's in a different frame, a chrome frame, a golden frame, a, you know, whatever, it's going to project a different image, right? So we have to reframe the way we think about things. Yes, he's going to come to the door and he's not going to talk to me because he never does. And that's okay. And actually, I'm grateful he doesn't talk to me because we don't have anything to talk about except for our children. So rethinking it, not why doesn't he talk to me? What's wrong with him? Then he doesn't talk to me. The effing narcissist doesn't talk to me. No. If you get into that, think about what's going to happen inside of you. But right. If you think about, okay, gratitude, I don't have to sleep with this man tonight. He's going to take my children. They're going to have a good time. And I'm even going to have some free time. Okay. It's not so terrible, horrible, and awful.
Doctor, I just feel so honored that you came on our podcast. I feel that just with your credentials in general and what you do, I mean, you do exactly what I do every day, which is divorce day in, day out, some way, somehow, whether it's therapy, mediation, whatever you're knee deep in it. And your comments are so poignant overall. And I do feel that our listeners are going to want more of you. And I think that you're going to essentially be asked to come back on a few more times because we are just tipping the iceberg of therapy and how to deal with things. And we've gotten two wonderful episodes down, but I have so many more ideas of what our listeners are going to want. But overall, I wanted to say thank you. It was amazing. And, you know, I want to ask Andrea her thoughts because she went through this. She lived all of this. And I can tell the last two episodes that we recorded this, she was struggling. So Andrea, what's your thought on having Dr. Heller on?
You know, I think that it's like, you know, when you're actually in a therapy session, any good therapist makes you think, it makes you feel, and there are going to be moments that are uncomfortable because if you have a drop of awareness, you're going to hear the missteps that you made, right? And of course, we've been talking about kids. And so that, I mean, like we've said this before, that's the only time when people get really, truly emotional. I think that these are such important conversations to have. And I think that what I want everybody to walk away with is it's never too late. It is never too late to change the script. It is not, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. There is always an opportunity to take control and to make your situation as healthy and as happy as possible. Yeah. And it also starts with you, right? Your children cannot be happy and thriving if you are, you know, treading water. So you've got to find a way that you get to the surface, right? As hard as it is to doggy paddle, get the help that you need so that you are able to be able to see clearly. Something that we talked about yesterday is that when you are in the eye of the hurricane, it's really hard to make good decisions, right? But that's why we have people like Morgan and you, Dr. Heller, right? Because I sucked at my divorce. I made all of the mistakes and I don't want other people to suffer the way that I suffered and to suffer the way that my children are still suffering. So guys, please, like this is a time where I do want you pull your car over. Okay. Pull the cars over, get out your pen or your notes app on your little iPhone and write down, I need to go figure things out. I need to find a family therapist. And with that being said, Dr. Heller, where can they go to find a family therapist who's licensed in their area?
Yeah. So first of all, Andrea, I want to again commend you for wanting to learn and wanting to understand how to do things differently. And I want to say to both you, Morgan, and you, Andrea, how grateful I am to have this opportunity to share possibilities for healing and for growth to as many people as I can. Because to my mind, and it's my tagline, then I'm, you know, having an impact on the world, one person, one couple, one family at a time. And hopefully there's a, you know, there's a spiral effect to that. So how do you find a family therapist? So the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy, AAMFT, has a national website, and I urge you to go on it. You can look for a therapist in your area and look at profiles, read credentials. Not everybody has to have a PhD, although, you know, of course, the more education, the more training, the more skilled and the more expertise. Interview them, see what's a fit, you know, invest in an interview, in a conversation. I always say to my clients, adults and children alike, you're interviewing me and I have to be a fit for you, because what the research will tell you is credentials are great, education is important, and at the same time, a fit that we have with our therapist, the safety we feel in their office, the way in which we feel acknowledged and validated and connected to them is going to really have an impact on the outcome. So I encourage you to read their profiles, have a phone conversation or a Zoom conversation and or an in-person interview and sense that it's a fit. And I would say sometimes it's more than once because, you know, you're nervous, you're anxious, you're uncomfortable, it's awkward. And sometimes it could be more than once. So give it a chance.
Dr. Heller, thank you. As we wrap up, we're going to have in our show notes all the information on how our listeners could reach out to you. But just for their listening right now, if they really want to look at your website, because you do have some really great resources on your website, what is your website?
Yeah, so www.familynetworkflorida.com or Family Network New York or Family Network Connecticut, depending on your area, but you can find it pretty readily. I really would welcome the opportunity to direct you, guide you, and come back. I would love to come back. This is wonderful. I love you, ladies. You're terrific and doing great things for the communities.
Well, thank you, Dr. Heller. I know our listeners love you and will love you even more the more that we listen. So thank you again. Wow, Andrea, Randy Heller, Dr. Randy Heller was
life-changing.
I think so too. And I think our listeners are going to feel the exact same, don't you?
Everyone needs a family therapist. Truly.
Moral of the story. I think even married couples that are doing well could use it and benefit from it. All right. So that was heavy. Let's lighten it up with Decline to Comment, the game where, you know, we shoot five questions at each other. You can decline to comment if you think that you could get in trouble legally, or maybe it's just not something you want out on the airwaves. Short of that, you have to answer it. Are you ready to play Decline to Comment?
Yes, ma'am. Who's going first?
I'm going to go first and I'm going to ask you things.
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite snack?
I was about to say pickles and I don't even like pickles. Pita chips and hummus.
What's the worst food you've ever tried?
I hate anything with mint in it.
If you could meet anyone, who would you meet?
Dead, alive or dead?
Yes.
Gilda Radner.
Would you trade intelligence for looks or vice versa?
No. No.
Well, which one? If you had to pick one, which would you pick?
Obviously, looks.
If you had to eat one food for the rest of your life, what would you eat?
You asked that last week. I said mashed potatoes. How many times do you need to hear the beached whale of Chicago tell you that she wants to eat potatoes?
You know what? Maybe I'm hungry and you're just, again, being really.
Or it would be like burgers, like burger, like fries, burgers, and red wine. There, I'll give you that.
All right. And what's your favorite cheesy love song?
Oh, Sade. Oh God, what's it called? Sade by Your Side. Sade, Sade, Sade. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. All right, your turn.
Okay. Morgan, are you ready to decline to comment or not to? Okay, here we go. Ever had a speeding ticket?
Yes.
Okay. What did you drink in college?
Bacardi Limon, and I will never drink it again.
Whoa. So bad. Do you still write down your appointments on paper, like in a scheduler?
No.
Modern day woman. What perfume do you wear?
I have three different ones. It depends on my mood.
Go, give me something to hold on to.
I love Le Labo, any Le Labo perfume. And I love old school Grace, Amazing Grace.
Oh my God, philosophy. Mm-hmm. Did you used to buy the Labo at Barney's?
You know what? There's a Le Labo store in Chicago. So I buy it there.
Let's get it at Barney's. Okay. What is, in your opinion, the most obnoxious MLM, multi-level marketing company?
I don't even know what a multi-level marketing company is.
Yes, you do. You know, those people online, like on Instagram. I know you're not on the Facebook, but they're like, hey, girl. Hey, mama. Hey, boss babe.
Oh.
Which one is the most obnoxious?
The most annoying one is I get hit up every day. Do you want more cases? I can get you really great cases, meaning more caseload for me as a lawyer, which they never...
How do they, I don't understand. What's the business? How do they do that?
I don't know if it's a marketing strategy or they have people, they just send out my name somewhere. I've never used one. I never will use one. And in fact, when I see it, I just am like, delete, please stop contacting me.
That's like, I get that all. When I used to do like tons and tons of makeup and I was working like intensely as a makeup artist, I always got people peddling their like, try my lip scents. It's lipstick that lasts for 4 years or longer. I was like, no, girl, no. All right. Well, neither one of us had to decline to comment. So bravo to us.
Exactly. And everybody knows, thank you for listening. And if we don't tell you enough, we love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel really scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and a little humor at times. And ultimately, to help you not suck at divorce.
100%. And guys, if any of you are in Wyoming and you're listening to this, thank you so much, State of Wyoming, for standing up and representing the How Not to Suck at Divorce fan club. Guys, should you ever want to know a little bit more about who we are, go pop over to our website. It's new, it's shiny, it's spectacular, and it is www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com.
Or you can follow us personally on Instagram. I'm at Divorce Attorney Chicago.
And I am at the Andrea Rappaport.
Guys, tell your friends, tell your book club, hell, tell your ex about the show. We are here to help everyone.
That's right, you guys. And remember, sometimes or a lot of the time, this process can feel like it's day by day.
And sometimes it's hour by hour, and we know that.
We get it. We're here to help you not suck at divorce. And even on the darkest of times, the darkest of days, you have got this.
And we have you.